the liberation from Egypt often serves as a prototype for hopes of a future redemption in Jewish history, and it is constantly alluded to in Jewish prayer. So there's the past redemption and the future redemption, and Egypt is the model. Wandering in the desert, after leaving Egypt, they arrive at Mount Sinai. The Israelites arrive at Mount Sinai, where the ultimate revelation takes place. The people of Israel receive the Ten Commandments, all sorts of manifest signs of God's presence on the mountain. God calls Moses up to the top of the mountain for 40 days and 40 nights, and on the mountain, Moses receives from God the complete system of laws, of instruction, which will ultimately be transmitted to the people of Israel. This teaching is known as the Torah, and it will serve as the divine basis for all subsequent aspects of Jewish law and behavior. As we will see in our later lectures, everything in the end will come back to the Torah and to this divine revelation. And so traditional Judaism accepts that all the five books of Moses, the Pentateuch, the first portion of the Hebrew Bible, were dictated by God to Moses at Sinai. The more liberal denominations of contemporary Judaism, following modern scholarship, have modified this article of faith by assigning a greater role for human authorship of the Torah. But that, again, need not change this collective memory and the centrality of the Torah in subsequent Judaism. They received their physical freedom from Egypt. They received their spiritual substructure at Sinai. And the people of Israel are now prepared for the final stage of the primal ethnographic saga. After 40 years in the desert, under the leadership of Moses' successor, Joshua, the land of Canaan is captured, the land that was promised to the patriarchs. The subsequent portions of the Hebrew Bible now describe the stages in the establishment of Israel as a nation in the land. Following conquest and a period of political consolidation under a series of judges, a monarchy finally emerges. David, the second king of Israel, whose reign is commonly dated to somewhere in the first half of the 10th century BCE, David was the founder of a monarchical dynasty that would rule Israel for four centuries, until the fall of the kingdom to the Babylonians in 586 BCE. Just as Moses came to represent the ultimate prophet in Judaism, David emerged not only as a symbol of political unity, but as the dynastic forerunner of a future restorative process, a process that would be capped by the appearance of one of his descendants in the image of a messianic leader. The period of the Davidic monarchy, after David and his son Solomon, would coincide with two major phenomena. And both would have a lasting effect on Judaism as a religion. David moved his capital to Jerusalem, and under his son Solomon, a temple would be established as the focal point of Jewish worship. And this is important because henceforth Jerusalem would have a dual role to play in the Judaic psyche. It became the political capital of Judaism as a people, but at the same time its sole legitimate religious center. You can worship only in Jerusalem at the time. The period of the monarchy coincides with the appearance of the great prophets of Israel. Their teachings, stressing the moral, the ethical imperatives of the nation, of its rulers, would serve as the cornerstone for Christianity as well as for Judaism. The Jewish reform movement of the 19th century would actually attribute a heightened significance to the words of the prophets, and in their eyes, in many ways, these prophetic teachings would surpass the prominence of the Torah, whose practical commandments were no longer deemed as being binding. But this, of course, is an issue that we will take up in a later lecture. The fall of the kingdom in 586, coupled with the destruction of the Temple of Jerusalem, marks the end of the first and formative stage of Jewish history. The Jewish Bible does not end, however, with the destruction. It goes a bit further to the first stirrings of a restoration, facilitated by the declaration of King Cyrus of Persia, allowing captives that had been taken to Babylonia some decades earlier to return to Zion and to rebuild a temple. And that's basically where the Hebrew Bible ends its story.